We're so glad to be here. We are. We've got a few moments. We've got a lot to tell you. So I want to do that. Yes, we go back a long way. And there's no need to go into all of that, right? Okay? Just trust that it's been a long, long time. But by the way, let me just say thank you for the Hope Tote. This program was started last year for us, and it really tapped into something that many in the community, businesses, churches, individuals really got excited about, and that is providing some basic emergency supplies, things that while you and I can go to Walmart and pick up, I was doing that yesterday, there's a number of people who that's just not possible right now. And these bags, and by the way, we could just give them toothpaste, and we could just give them a razor or soap or those things, but notice what's on the outside of each one of those bags. It's a Hope Tote. And one of the ways that the Union Mission, and with your help, provides hope is just by meeting people right at their point of need, critical need. And so I want to share some things with you, and I want to go to God's Word in a moment, and just to let you know what the Lord is doing. And by the way, I want to remember to do this. You may have received one of these on your way in. You can say, oh, I know what that is. That's a brochure. Well, let me just tell you, so you can just look at the pictures and maybe you don't have time to read the text. It's a story of God's faithfulness. It really is. The last 5, 6, 7 years have just been a time of watching the Lord take the mission through challenging times, as we all know. But everything that you'll see and learn about in this little paper, this little document, is just one message after the next. God can do it. God can do it. God has done it. You like stories with a good ending? Well, read this one, okay? But you take that and look at that and look what the Lord has done. And if you need one, you didn't get one, well, we have some, I believe, back over here to my left. Well, I am glad to be here and glad to share with you about the work of the ministry. My wife oversees the women and family work. And I help out with the men and a few other things. So we'll get home in the evening, probably like husband and wives do, and sometime in the evening, after all the other things are done, we compare notes. How'd it go over here with you? How'd it go over here? And, we have a 24-acre campus. We have nearly 300 people a day residing there, and a couple hundred more coming to do other things on the property. And there's always something that's happening. And we'll compare notes. And she shared with me this past week as she and another lady were making their way through our men's shelter. We have a medical program, a wellness program, actually. And it's designed to help those that need medical services, can't afford them, can't get to them, maybe don't even know that they have medical needs. And she was just saying to me as I walked through the men's shelter, it wasn't just a lot of people. Well, that's obvious, and I shared the numbers with you. It was the depth of the need of each of those people. I shared with Foxy, I shared with you earlier, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week, seemed to go just in just that way, in successive days, a pastor, a concerned person called, and first it was a senior from King's Fork, only a month away from graduating, but he can't stay at home, he's homeless. Then the next day, a pastor out in the Nansman River area called and said, I got a guy, he's this close to graduating from Deep Creek High School, but he has no place to go. Finally, on Friday, pastor in the Norfolk area downtown said, I found a young man who attends Maury High School, and he doesn't have any place to stay. And I thought, Lord, has it come to that, that we have to take graduating seniors and bring them into our homeless shelters? And it isn't the case, obviously, in every situation. But that's just part of what the Lord has allowed us to be in the needs that we're responding to right now. I'll tell you this quickly. I've been with the mission, well, since 1971. They start young there, okay? All right, but no, I was a child growing up in Hope Haven, and that's how some of you got to know me. And then I came on staff in 1991. And my wife and I have been married this September 20 years, so we've been in the ministry together. But in roughly 22 years of being with the mission in that capacity, I've never seen it like it is today. And if you were to come to me and you were to say, well, why is that? The numbers of people, men, women, families that are seeking shelter and help. We have, not to bore you with numbers, we have a men's shelter with our emergency population are called our guests. These are the people that come to us and say, I don't have a place to stay. Can you help? And we have 100 beds for them. Now, when we moved in 3.5 years ago or so, we were already over capacity. But all during this week and last week, in the guest population alone, 215 men, three of them those 18-year-olds I told you about, are seeking shelter. What that means is there's 100 beds, and 115 sleep on a mat, and we promise them it'll be somewhere indoors and on the property of the Union Mission, but that's it. It could be anywhere, in our men's shelter, in another building. And again, the needs are tremendous. I'm thankful for the staff that we have that are right there night and day meeting the needs, responding to those needs. But here's what I want to share with you. And you pray for the Ministry of Union Mission. I can tell you this, that as we have expanded our ministry and grown, so has the provision and the resource. Not to, again, bore you with numbers, but in 2008, we had roughly 33,000 regular donors to our ministry. In 2012, it was 28,000. And yet, every one of our needs was met. Every person was provided for, everything that was needed. So I could brag about the faithfulness of God, and that would be appropriate. But I have a message I want to share with you. It's a message found in these hope totes. It's a message found in what we did this morning. I missed it this morning, Pastor, but I'm glad to be here. But I'll be looking forward to being back in my regular spot next Sunday. We have what's called a Sunday morning gospel breakfast service. Reverend Bashard started it years ago. It happens at 8:30 in the morning. We take a room, put about 180 or so men and women in it, and we preach a gospel message. We have a men's choir called the Minutemen Gospel Choir. They sing and do our best in that area. And last Sunday morning, I was there, and they were bringing chairs from every direction. What is going on? They just keep coming. They just keep coming. And we share a gospel message, and then we ask anyone that would like to receive Christ to come. And or to pray, or in some other way. And that's normally where I am on Sunday morning, and looking forward to being back there. But I'm glad I get to share with you this morning, because through that service, through these hope totes, through every meal, we serve about 20,000 meals every 30 days at the mission, through all of the activities, through what you enable us to do, there is one thing. It's a message of hope. A message of hope. And that's what I want to share with you this morning for a few moments. And by the way, God's word is filled with these messages of hope. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to scan the chapter, do a flyover, and then dip into the final six verses there, in verse 25 down to verse 30. Because in this chapter, and indeed in the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see over and over again Jesus encountering people, and whether he was feeding them, doing a miracle, preaching, teaching his disciples, preparing the way, whatever it was a message of hope. You know, folks, today we can do so much, can't we? I mean, we can look at images from around the world on these walls, and we're here in, we're in Chesapeake. That throws you there, and you say South North. Now you're in Chesapeake. We can get on our computers. We can go and do, but we can do so many significant acts that convey a message of hope. And I know that some of you are probably regularly involved in that. Some of you are all about being in your neighborhood, being in your school, being at your work, and all of that, doing these very things. But Jesus did it in such a special way, and I want to share that with you this morning, because that's really the work of the mission. It's presenting and giving a hope in all of these unusual ways and these messages, such as these 115 bags of these hope totes. Well, Matthew chapter 11, and I want to scan before we read verses 25 to 30, but Jesus is busy in his ministry, and as he is carrying out his ministry, he is met up with some, well, some challenges to who he is and to what he's called to do and what he's doing. It begins first there in verses 1 through 6, and we'll not read all of that. But look at verse 5. It says, Jesus responds to John's disciples coming to him and asking, are you the Messiah? Verse 5 says, the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. The message of hope to John the Baptist, this discouraged servant of the Lord, is this: John, listen, I'm the real thing. Believe me, don't doubt. And though John, perhaps in prison, was looking and wondering, Lord, I preached a message of repentance. I preached a message of your judgment to come. Where is it? I'm in prison for standing up for your name. And there John is suffering for the name of Christ. And Jesus' message to him is this: don't let the trials of serving me get you off track. Don't let the delay in judgment deceive you. I'm it. I'm the real thing. I find it very, very, very interesting. You know, in ministry, you're working with people all the time. And there can be, and there has been in our ministry, some discouraging moments. Discouraging moments in the hearts of people when they don't see that Jesus Christ is true and real, and they need to turn their lives over to him. Discouragement as a servant of the Lord, not seeing things maybe come to pass as you thought they would in the time and the way you thought they would. The message of hope to John is this: John, you keep your eyes on me. You focus on me, and even in the hard times, and you'll be blessed. And there's a message to John right there in verse 6. Blessed is the one who is not tripped up or caused to stumble because the image of the Messiah that you have doesn't match up with the true image of who I am. And there's that message to the discouraged ones, but it's a message of hope. And then I go down and look there at verse 16, and Jesus has described who John was, and no one's greater of men than John the Baptist. And then he says in verse 16, but what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance, and we mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he is a demon. Verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. And the message of hope here extended to the people, to the children of Israel, was, listen, you make up your mind. It's interesting the way they can't accept John. His message is too severe. They can't accept Jesus Christ. It's too soft. One observer said, John, well, he's too holy. Jesus, he's not holy enough. I mean, John, it's that lifestyle, it's that diet, it's that that attire, it's that preaching out in the wilderness. It's just too hard. And over here, Jesus says, okay, well, I won't do that, I'll do this. And he's assigned the identity of someone who just rubs elbows with sinners. Tax collectors. I think the message of hope has to include today an understanding that people will have to choose and decide about Jesus Christ. He can't be all, you know, he can't be, you know, situational and everything. He's this and everything. No, he's either Messiah and Savior of the world, or he's something entirely different and unable to provide any hope for you. And Jesus says to these, I'll call them double-minded, listen, take seriously the message that I've just shared with you about John. John's message, as you know, in Matthew chapter 3, was very straightforward. Repent and do works befitting repentance. Come out of that lifestyle and come out of those things. And people would come to him and say, what should we do? And he's a guard. And they say, all right, we don't take bribes anymore. Oh, that's what bribes do. That's what guards do. Or, well, what about this person? Well, listen, don't behave in that way any longer. And yet, for those that saw Jesus, first John, and then Jesus, they didn't want. They were like in the days of Elijah. They were halting between two opinions. Decide, choose who Jesus Christ is. And so the message for that group was, make a decision. Choose. You ever been in a situation where you're sharing with someone about Christ and it's really moving forward, it's really advancing, and then you get to that part, and Pastor, you know, because you were a former salesman, where you have to close the deal, right? It's not enough to give the tract. It's not enough to say, God is good. You have to say, it's Jesus Christ, your Savior. And the head drops. They've got to make a decision. They've got to choose. You allow them to hear and consider everything and sort of take it all in, but now a decision has to be made. And so that message of hope for those like this is decide, choose this day whom you will serve, and live with the consequences of that decision. Well, just moving down again before we get to verse 25, verse 20, it says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, and because they did not repent. And there are several cities mentioned and some of the activity, and one particular city that stands out there in verse 23. But you know, Jesus provided a message of hope to the discouraged in the name of John the Baptist. He described a message of hope to these dual-minded, double-minded people who didn't want to go one way or the other, wanted to stay sort of in the comfortable middle. And then he provided a message of hope, or a message to this group of disengaged ones, people who it didn't seem to move them. Jesus said, listen, if some of the things that I had done in your city had been done in Sodom and these other places, they'd still be here today, not burn spots on the map of my judgment. If they had seen what you've seen, if they had heard what you'd heard, if they had explained to them, you know, it's a wonderful country we live in, and I get to go to Romania twice a year. And so you don't have to go there. You can go to other places, but there's a wonderful difference between light and darkness. But, you know, to those of us that are exposed to the light, Jesus wrote in Luke 12, to whom much is given, much is required. The unfolding of God's word gives light. And yet here's a group of people that Jesus had performed all these miracles and all of these things had been done, and yet they rejected him. They were unmoved, disengaged. Sometimes at the mission, when we're having chapel services, never happens here, I'm sure, Pastor. Someone will fall asleep. Like I say, it couldn't happen here, but I mean, it happens there. And, you know, I've thought, you know, I'd just rather somebody come out and tell me, I have no interest in what you're sharing. I don't believe it's true. I have no intention of following it. And I just want you to know that I stand opposite of you in this. I mean, at least they're engaged somewhat. I'm going to help them. This is going to get them to heaven. And they're under the judgment of the Lord for sure. But at least you know what's going on. Here's a group of people, not in any way, it seemed, moved by the message. Not moved maybe to anger, or moved certainly in any kind of humility or brokenness. And to that group, Jesus' message is this. Listen, wake up. Judgment is your future. I mean, wake up to the reality that Jesus is coming again, and you're a privileged people to hear this. Well, verse 25, it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Passage you know very well. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So I consider this last group, the discouraged, the double-minded, the disengaged. And yet here Jesus, and this pattern is followed again in chapter 12 later on, but this message to the distressed, to the downtrodden, we may say. Some folks have asked us about our mission statement, and they've said, isn't that a bit dated language? And it is dated language. We were founded in 1892, so we sometimes have to describe what it means to reform the erring. I was in a church in Portsmouth one Sunday morning. A young guy comes up to me, and this was a church that did ministry to the homeless. And he said, what does that mean, reform the erring? And I just had to politely say, it means people who get out of the way, get out of step with the Lord, and need to be told to get back in line or need to come to the Lord. I know that this is a wonderful group of people here, but I know you'd accept with me the fact that left to ourselves, we have messed it all up. And we have, like those sheep, gone astray, turned every one of us to our own way. So I had to share with this 19-year-old quickly. I don't know how clear it was either. But that's language that that speaks to this, the distressed, those out of the way. And again, some 260 to 280 men, women, and families each day coming to the mission. Sometimes my wife will tell me, beds are full, two couches occupied, two more chairs beyond that occupied. And then occasionally a hotel just to round out those numbers. You see, Jesus, in spite of the discouragement of John, and in spite of the fickleness of the children of Israel, and in spite of the hard-heartedness of these particular cities, is still willing to offer himself to those who see their need for it. And, you know, really there are two things I want to share with you, and then I'm done. And I thank you so much for the time, and thank you for what you've done for us. Continue to pray for our ministry. Come and see it if you haven't done that. But really two things that really come out for me in this passage. One is this revelation, this revealing that what God knows, Jesus knows. I like what one very popular writer has said, to talk about God without, you can't talk about God without talking about Jesus. To talk about God without talking about Jesus is to talk about a no God, one that doesn't exist. And yet here Jesus says, I'm thankful that, Lord, you have revealed these things, not to those wise and the sophisticated, but to us simple ones. I'm noticing how everything in society seems to be getting more and more simplified. Even my ATM experience now. I go up to my ATM machine and they've changed the whole format. And what they do to me is they say, John Gray, here's the button you most often pick. It's right here in big red for you, okay? Go to that. But, you know, when it comes to spiritual things, we need it given to us in that way. Not only do we need it given to us that way, but what it means is that these things will come to those who, well, as it says here in Babes, humble and in need and know of their need of the Lord. There's a revelation that these things have been revealed by God to people like these. And all they need to do is believe. And there's a revelation that the Father, through Jesus, chooses whom he's going to reveal it to. That's for us there in verse 27. But you know, there's an invitation. It's so clear. You've heard it from this pulpit, I'm sure. Jesus standing and saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we sing songs of this. But I think about the invitation as a message of hope. And I think, look what the Lord has done. He's revealed to us his wonderful plan. John was in prison, discouraged by those events, thinking perhaps that he had gotten the wrong Messiah or maybe had missed the coming of the kingdom. But folks, we never have to be concerned about that because God has chosen to reveal to us his wonderful plan. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, You know that plan. It doesn't come in a book. There's not a code. There's not a series of steps. There's just simple belief. When Paul was in prison in Acts 16, and that guard comes running in, what does he say? You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And it's been God's desire through Jesus Christ to reveal to us his plan and then to invite us. It's interesting. Here, in verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. This exclusivity, that the only way that I know and understand the heart of God is through Jesus Christ, who said, by the way, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. When I think about this invitation, and here it is very simply, come, revealed to us, revealed by God our Father, revealed by this invitation, this personal invitation. Hey, you just come to me. And as you come to me and as you yoke up with me and engage in this new relationship, you're going to find rest for your souls. I enjoy doing this as I'm on the campus there of the Union Mission. I'll get into one particular building that has lots of windows, but it's tinted. I see out, they don't see in. And I enjoy watching as I watch the number of men move on and off the campus. Some of them a little bit older, need a little more assistance, walking a little slower. Some of them are the younger ones. Their backs are still up, and they've got everything they own in their backpack there. Others at middle age. Some are being driven and dropped off, and family members are dropping off their family members. Some of the families are coming in and bringing them to the family shelter. And I see that, and I say, Lord, look at this. You say, come. The invitation is there. And all is ready. All is made available. I'll give you a simple illustration. Last Sunday was Mother's Day. I'm sure you remember that. And I was making my way back from my mom's house. And we were just out on the road and hadn't gotten up to speed. But my family remembers this. There was a dog, a little dog, in the street. And if it was a cat, I was sped up. But no, it was a dog. So I slowed down, okay? And even used my horn. But as I was going by, the dog was there on the side of the road, but looking like he wanted to shoot across in our path. Looked to my right, and I could kind of see what was the confusion for the dog. The dog's owner, master, was on the front porch of the home there, and the dog recognizes that's my master. The dog hears the voice of the master. That surely is my master. And I need to get to him because there could be danger for me. He doesn't recognize the danger perhaps of the car. And so there's this conflicting message and this little dog sort of, what do I do? What do I do? And I made sure I drove slowly and hit the horn once and got beyond him. And then the dog ran across the street to the master. But you know, folks, that's just a silly everyday illustration. Do you understand that our master, in saying come, never has to say, okay, wait a minute, there's a danger that I can't control. There's a circumstance in your life that's beyond my control, and so here, I'll send you to a third party. Or no, you stay over there. It's not good for you to come to me now because you could be harmed. Do you realize we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and we do this at the mission every day. We have nightly chapel services and Bible studies and other opportunities. But what we do is we point men and women and families, we point them to the one who has said, come. Come to me. If you'll come to me, I will give you this rest. There's never a moment in the salvation history that we have that Jesus says, wait a minute, no, this is not the proper time. I'm sorry, no, you please wait, or none of that. And so it's a great joy to stand up before God's people and to those who come to the mission and wherever else I'm at and say, listen, if you could get to Jesus, well, then that would all be taken care of. If you would come to him, he invites you, he's made a way for you, and he especially calls those whose hearts are weighed down and whose lives are filled with so much that is hopeless and without you know, any real hope for change. So thank you so much for letting us share with you and you being a part of the ministry that we're here doing. You say, well, I'm not there with you. No, you're there with us through this activity, through the prayers, through the support. You're there with us so that we can say collectively together, from where we are in Virginia Beach Boulevard, Norfolk, to where you are here in this particular part of South Norfolk, and we can say to people, you can come to Jesus. You can come to him now. Well, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, thank you for the time that we've had this morning to consider the message of hope that is found in you, Lord, and in no other. A message, Lord, revealed by God, your Son, to us. Lord, we never have to be in doubt, in darkness, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It's been revealed from our Father, again through him, through his word to us. We never have to be in doubt as to whether we could come to Jesus and would it be a proper time? Would it be the right time? No, just come. Come as you are. And Lord, for the discouraged, it's a message of hope to believe, continue to believe. For those wavering, it's a clear message. Choose who you will serve, who you'll believe in. For the great majority of people who just, this seems to pass them by and seem to show very little interest in, Lord, it's a sobering reminder. Wake up. You're going to be judged for your sin one day. And what have you done to prepare for that? And then, Lord, for those who, through all of that, and Lord, I recognize that each day we could meet one, if not all, four of these classes of people. And the message is still the same. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And Lord, I just thank you for the ministry of Union Mission and South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. And Lord, the long relationship. And Lord, in these days, would you just really come and strengthen us each and just continue to move us in the direction that you have for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that it first and foremost begins with Jesus Christ, who died for us because he loved us, rose for us, calls us to himself, and for those who have received him, prepares for us a place that one day he will take us to be with him. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you for this message of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.